ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 9 टिल 12th। सो वी विल रीड टेक्स्ट 9 फर्स्ट। श्री शुक उवाच एवं वृंदावनम श्रीमत् एवं वृंदावनम श्रीमत् कृष्ण प्रीतमनः पशान् कृष्णप्रीतमनःपशून् रेमे सञ्चारयन्नाद्रे रेमे सञ्चारयन्नाद्रे सरिद्रोदशु सनुगः सरिद्रोदशु सानुगः। वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग्स। श्री शुक उवाच, श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड एवं इन दिस वे वृंदावनम विद द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ वृंदावन एंड इट्स इनहैबिटेंट्स श्रीमत् ब्यूटिफुल कृष्णः लॉर्ड कृष्णा प्रीतमनाः being satisfied in his mind, Pashun, the animals, Reme, he took pleasure, Sancharayan, making them graze, Adre, in the vicinity of the mountain, Sarit, of the river, Rodashu, upon the banks, Sanugaha, together with his companions. Translation: Sukhdev Goswami said, thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the river Yamuna below Govardhan Hill. Please repeat. Sukhdev Goswami said, thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the river Yamuna below Govardhan Hill. So there are three more text to be read, so I will read, we will not repeat everybody. Kvachit gayanti gayatsu madandalishva anuvratahi upagiyamana charita pati shankarshana vitaha anujalpati jalpantam kalavakyai sukham kvachit kvachit savalgu kujantam अनुकूजति कोकिलं क्वचिच्च कलहंसानां अनुकूजति कूजितं अभिन्द्रत्यति नित्यन्तं बर्हिणं हसयं क्वचित् मेघगम्भीरया वाचा नामभिर्दुरगान् पशून् क्वचिद् आभ्यन्ति प्रीतया गोगोपालमनोजनया। शुड वी रीड मीनिंग्स फॉर ऑल दिस? Translation. Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his cowherd boyfriends and Baldev, would then respond to the bees by imitating their singing, while his friends sang about his pastimes. Sometimes Lord Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot, sometimes with a sweet voice the call of a cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of a peacock, making his coward boyfriends laugh. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the coward boys. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami explains that Lord Krishna would joke with his friends, saying, "Just look, this peacock does not know how to dance properly." Whereupon the Lord would vigorously imitate the peacock's dancing, causing great laughter among his friends. The bees in Vrindavan would drink the sap of the forest flowers, and the combination of the nectar and the association of Sri Krishna made them mad with intoxication. Thus, they closed their eyes in ecstasy and expressed their satisfaction by humming. And this humming was also expertly imitated by the Lord. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this is a beautiful verse describing the beauty of Vrindavan forest. So the inference for us, being the son of Lord Krishna, or the part and parcel of Lord Krishna, is that he as a father is teaching us how to enjoy. So this description, as we read, we can understand about the Purna creation of the Lord. So we have this verse, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. This is from Sri Shopanishad. And these words emphasize that the creation, the creator is complete, the creation is complete, and whatever emanates from it is complete in itself. This is a Vedic paradigm which should be inscribed in our mindsets. But unfortunately, our mindset is designed totally on the other side. We, in this material world, are trying to innovate, trying to do research, trying to find out gadgets, instruments, amenities, so that we get some enjoyment. But in this verse, Sri Krishna is clearly emphasizing that if you want to enjoy, then this is how we should enjoy our life in the Vrindavan forest. And the forest is also signifying the coexistence of all the species. So in the current society, coexistence world does not exist anymore. We feel that this planet is just for humans. So any endeavor which is input in is just to take care of the human species. But Krishna is the supreme father of all the 84 lakh species, and cooperatively the species can enjoy. If we compete with each other, it's not possible to enjoy, which we are already experiencing. We have tried so much to create facilities, to be disease free, but we see we ended in a situation called coronavirus. Now even a small virus is creating a lot of problem for the whole humanity. So in the greed or in the race of enjoying this material existence, we are collapsing year on year, decade on decade, the human society, the sufferings are increasing. So we have to understand what this Purna means, because the entire material education is designed to take us away from the Purna created by the Lord. We are simply challenging Krishna's management system in every walk of life. When this world was, planet, universe was created, it was given with abundance. there was no scarcity of anything. But because of our intervention in the Krishna's way of managing this universe, now we see that there is scarcity of every single thing. Even we don't have good quality of water, good quality of air, good quality of food. These are the basic necessities we need, even to keep the body and soul together. Even we are struggling with that now. And the only reason that can be assigned to this is our competitive mentality with Krishna's management system. So Krishna created this planet for us so that we can enjoy our life and go back home, back to Godhead. But we have not understood the completeness of this creation. Prabhupada also writes, I think in Bhagavad Gita's introduction, that our incomplete knowledge about the complete creation is the cause of all problem. So we don't understand this creation, and we are in the direction of reductionist theory now. So if we take example of cows, so we don't know what to do with the bulls, so we are slaughtering them or we are culling them. We don't know how to engage them, so they are getting castrated. So these are some small, like in farming, how to grow more produces. So we started using chemicals, fertilizers, pesticides, weedicides, but not even one weed is destroyed so far, because all these species are created by Krishna. So if we will compete them, the answer is very clear: we are going to lose. So we can't compete nature. Like passing urine is a nature's call, right? And if somebody wants to hold it for long, it will develop into a disease. It's a very small example to understand. Anything we do against the nature, we have to pay a price. But we are not trained like that. Our mindset is totally reverse of this. We give priority to everything which is created by us, but not what is created by the Lord. Rather, not created by us, but managed by us, I would say. We are just managing this creation, and it has been so pathetically managed that we have ruined the beauty of Vrindavan. The Vrindavan forest, as described here, was full of rivers, lakes, beautiful trees, having fruits, flowers, fragrant breeze was flowing, and Krishna was desperate, you know, to enjoy this pastime with the cows. And as soon as he reached the pogand age of 6, he just wanted to move with the cows, you know, maturing from the calf to the cows now with his cowherd boys, and emphasizing the very importance of grazing the cows. So Purna has some characteristics. Purna means the more we grow, the more the resources increase. This is totally against the current paradigm. So Krishna designed a system wherein whatever things we keep taking from the landscapes, it will keep giving us more. This is how it was designed by the Lord. Increasing population does not deplete the resource. So the current paradigm says if the population increases, the resources will deplete. But it is opposite of Purna. If Krishna is saying Purnam, everything is Purna, then how population can be a problem? And Prabhupada said in one of his class in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, that even if we have 10 times population than this, still this planet can feed them. But currently what paradigm we are holding is totally reverse of that. And we can't even understand what it means. It is difficult to realize it and even accept that statement. But it's a fact. This is what is meant by Purna. The resources are available at the site. This is very important thing. Right now we are in a race to import, export and get things from here and there, because we think that Krishna has not created this particular city in a proper way, or this place is not proper, or this forest is not proper, or this country is not designed properly, so we need to import and export. But the Purna paradigm says that Krishna has given everything at the site to the jiva who takes birth at that site. That paradigm we need to understand. Right now, again taking example of cows, we are accustomed to shifting cows from here to there. Like, I am from Gujarat, and the Gujarat Gir cows is very famous, and everybody wants to drink milk from Gir cows only. The simple question to ask is, if Gir cow was the cow of the planet, why Krishna created different variety of breeds? So these cows are designed as per the geography of a area. So the only function of cows is not to give milk, but her function is to develop the landscape for us, which we have not understood. So our training, the paradigm received from the education system, is reductionist. We just want to cut down everything to be centered around us. But as Shastra teaches us, if we really want to be happy in our life, everything should be centered around Krishna. If things are, our decisions are centered around our lifestyle, then we are increasing the problems. But if all our decisions are centered around pleasing Lord Krishna, then and only then we can get a good lifestyle. Otherwise it is not possible. This is what Krishna is himself exemplifying here. That as a father, he is lovingly teaching us that if you want to have a good life, this is how you should do. But we want different things to enjoy. We can't enjoy. If we are all put in a forest, we will not know what to do there. We don't know how to enjoy in that lifestyle. Because we are conditioned to be envying Krishna's arrangement system. This is the modern materialistic society designed like that. We are conditioned that we envy every single thing. Anything that comes in is disturbing us. We can't handle smallest of the thing. So we are just in a competitive mentality with the creation. And that is why we are having exponential growth in the diseases on this planet. It is continuously increasing. Despite of the best of the scientists, best of the doctors, best of the research institutes, what have we achieved? Today we are with a mask on our face. We can't even show our face. So it's a high time to understand that unless and until we align ourselves with the way Krishna wants us to live, we cannot enjoy our life. So we are into a mad race of sense gratification. Even all the scriptures you read, Prabhupada even, I don't know how many thousands of times, is emphasizing that sense gratification. If we do sense gratification, we will be trapped with Maya. So our job is to please Krishna's senses. Right? So this is what Vrindavan forest is doing. Every single species is trying to serve Krishna. The whole purpose of their life is to serve Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna. No other intention, that is a common purpose. So our common purpose as a community should be also to please Krishna. If we have diversified agendas, then it is difficult to satisfy our senses even. Because we cannot be satisfying our senses without satisfying Krishna's senses. And even if we think we are satisfying our senses, it will only add to more and more problems. So this Purna paradigm, continuing with more characteristics, the resources are available at the site. There is no scope for further development. So now there is another mindset given to us of value addition. We want to add value to what Krishna is creating. Is it possible? How can we add value to what Krishna is giving? And then what this word means otherwise, value addition. The whole supermarkets are full of value added products. So what value are we adding? Rather, we are depleting the value. We are not adding it. But the paradigms are so deep rooted in our consciousness now, it is inscribed on our mindsets, that we can't believe this. We can't believe this even. We are totally sold out to these ideas that value added products will make our life better. They will give us good health. It can be vitamins, pills, God knows what all things are available. But what Vrindavan forest is preaching is, whatever is available on the site from the nature's produce is for our health, is our life sustaining things. Those things we are allowed to enjoy. That is not sense gratification. Sense gratification is when we challenge Krishna's system and try to add something to it, assuming that it will make the things better. The biggest illusion we have in our life. So the Brajavasis, the best part of the all the species here mentioned, that they were trying to serve Krishna in the capacity they were given. So if the peacock is dancing, the bees are humming, and Krishna is accepting it as a song, as a dance offered to him. So they are just performing their common function. They have not taken any education for that. So these common functions are destined and fixed for all the species. But unfortunately, there is no education for this. Prabhupada said in one of its class that if one can learn from nature, there is no need to go to school. But unfortunately, we don't know what to learn from the nature. Like previously, people didn't have watches, right? They used to see from the moon, sun movement, they could know what is the time now. But now the current paradigm is changing. So we are challenging the nature arrangement system and trying to make our life better, but ultimately it is becoming more and more degraded. So we need to develop our faith in the Purna system created by the Lord. And this Purna system has more characteristics. It says that nature is self-organizing and relentless. So we don't know, even if we are doing some mistakes with the nature, we don't know, because it keeps self-organizing, it keeps on working. And we see that Krishna is still lovingly providing us whatever we need. There are no parts in nature. This is a very important point. We are trained to manage in parts. Like even education system is compartmentalized. Some doctor treats the teeth, somebody is treating the heart, somebody is treating the knees, somebody is treating the spine. But the whole system, the body, they don't understand. And then they are playing with the thing. Like we commonly use this example, that if you want to keep the body moving, the food should reach the stomach. Hand cannot eat, eyes cannot eat. So we all cooperatively work all the part of the body, put the food in the mouth, so we get the energy and the body works. So all the parts are working for a common whole. That is what we have to understand. So today this planet is managed in compartment. That is another problem we are facing. So it has to be managed as a whole. And when it is managed as a whole, it is more efficient, more performing, more reciprocative. And we can see the abundance back. But today we have no provision. Like even if you see in Vrindavan, let us talk about some city. If I talk about Ahmedabad, there is no provision in the city for water for the dogs, water for the birds. So the whole management system, its reduction is just focused on the humans. And Krishna has designed the system that unless and until we take care of all the 84 lakh species, we cannot get good lifestyle for ourselves. So Prabhupada writes in 1st canto, 10th chapter, text number 4, purport, that we humans are the elder brothers of all other species. All other species, he uses the word. All other means remaining 80 lakhs. We are the elder brothers. We are entrusted a responsibility to maintain them. But here we are struggling. If a monkey enters the field, we fear he will eat the bananas. Where will the poor monkey go? What is the provision we have done for that? So these are the paradigms given to us. It's not that we are bad people, the society is bad. I'm not talking about that. The point is, this is how we are raised in this materialistic society. These are the paradigms given to us. If we continue living with these paradigms, only end result will be increasing the problems of this planet. And we are witness to it. In last 42, 43 years or whatever age you have lived on this planet, you know, the day you were born and now, the problems have aggravated. Then what is the development we are doing? So there is no scope of development. This is what Purna means. There is no scope of development. We have to develop a mindset where we understand that every decision we will take is to cooperate with the Purna creation of the Lord, not to compete with the Purna creation. Right now, every single decision is competing. Every single decision. So Srila Prabhupada also said that we should produce what we need and consume what we produce. So this is a very deep statement actually. So he's uprooting the our commercial aspect from this. So we have to produce what we need. So what we should decide as a community, what we need. Community means 80-fold X species. And then consume what we produce. Then we cannot enter into a commercial mentality. That is even more damaging. Because of this commercial mentality, the whole food industry is flourishing. And even Shastra says that tongue is the most voracious sense. So we have read this, but we have not deeply understood it or realized it, but the industry has realized it, the food industry. So they are trying to, you know, capture our senses by providing so-called value-added products. And we feel that this value-added product will give us health. That has ruined the whole agriculture system. Then today we see the agriculture system is focused on monocropping. Monocropping, people say that it is growing one crop, and diversity means growing diverse crop. But actually monocropping means growing for one species. Currently we are growing for one species only, humans. That is monocropping. And diverse crop means growing for all the species. That is the real understanding. This is what Krishna wants. Unless and until all the species are fed, Mother Earth and Mother Cow will never be happy. And we won't see Vrindavan manifesting back. This Vrindavan was manifesting because all the species were performing their functions for the Lord. The common agenda was pleasing the Lord. So now when the rain comes, we see water. When the rain goes, the rivers are dried up. We can't even talk about the spring water now. But in this same canto, same chapter, previous verses, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Madhava means spring and Madhavi means creepers. So if there is spring, why you need all the tanks of water? The most healthiest form of water is spring. But with our management system of making canals, dams, irrigation facilities, we have reached to a level where we see no more springs, the rivers are dried, the wells are dried, the water is getting salinated. This is development. Now we are finding out systems to desalinate the water or rain water harvesting. But Krishna gave a system. Krishna gave a system where the water was harvested in the soil, there were rivers flowing, there were springs available, but we destroyed that system because of our competitive mindset. We want to compete with the Krishna's management system. So Vrindavan forest is reminding us that if we want to live a Krishna conscious lifestyle, we have to live our life as per the way Krishna was living. He has practically demonstrated. Every single day he was moving out with the cows, going to the forest, eating whatever was available in the forest, whatever Mother Yashoda was giving. There is one lecture in Tokyo Prabhupada gave, wherein Prabhupada says that Krishna, even though he was living, he was son of a king, Nanda Maharaj was quite rich, opulent. He was leaving the royal palace every single day just to graze the cows. And today, if somebody is grazing the cows, he is a poor fellow. What Krishna did is projected as somebody is a poor person. If you have to punish some, or kuch nahi aata hai, tum gaay charayega. If you don't know anything, go and graze cows. This is a saying in the villages now. And Krishna himself was doing it. He didn't delegate this work to anybody. Killing this, okay, you do, but grazing the cows, I will do. No delegation. It was so important. It was so important for the humanity. And now, the ecologists of the world, the researchers are concluding that if we want to save this planet, we have to graze cows. That is the message. If we don't graze the cows, we can't save this planet. Impossible. It's a big philosophy to understand, but good news is that America has started grazing schools. And there are no vacancies in the schools now. It is always full. So Americans have understood this. When I say Americans, it is not ISKCON America, but general American society. They have started grazing schools already. There are projects managing thousands of acres of land just by grazing cows. No irrigation, no tractor, no chemical, no fertilizer, growing best quality of produce. So this is what Krishna was preaching when he was moving around the cows in the 12th forest. That was the message, that by moving the cows, you can get abundance. It is not, certainly it's a wonderful pastime the Lord is performing, but every pastime has many inferences for us. Like Arjuna was not a non-devotee, was not understanding Gita, but they demonstrated it for us. So similarly, Krishna himself appeared, purposefully appeared as a coward boy. Prabhupada used his word in the 8th canto. Purposefully Krishna appeared as a coward boy because he wanted to teach, he wanted to demonstrate how to take care of cows and calves. This is from 8th chapter, 8th canto, 24th chapter, text number 5. Purposefully Krishna selected this. And today we see the coward community is finished almost. So if that coward community is not manifesting, Vrindavan lifestyle won't manifest. So Prabhupada has said also that everywhere green, everywhere Vrindavan. Where there is Krishna, where there is cows, where there is land and where there is Krishna is Vrindavan. So we are right here in Vrindavan. We have so many cows with us. We have Sri Krishna Balaram here. We have wonderful instructions of Srila Prabhupada with us. Now only left part is to make everything green, because the forest were green, to create the forest back. So if we get some thousands of acres of land for these cows to move around, then we can certainly enjoy our senses to full satisfaction, pleasing Krishna. Today whatever we are doing is taking support of Ugra Karma. Everything we are trying to use is coming from factories, you know. But this canto, 10th canto, mentions nothing about factories. It is all about Vrindavan forest. So Krishna said, I don't live in village, I don't live in town, I don't live in cities, I live in forest. So they were inhabitant of forest, 12 forest. All around was 12 forest. And they were making their houses there and living their life peacefully. So it is very important to understand this point, that if we want to serve Krishna, then to give pleasure to his senses, the only way is to manifest this lifestyle. With the current lifestyle of the cities, what we are seeing, or what we are living rather, is very difficult, because in that practically we are fighting with activities which are against our real consciousness. So our real consciousness is to be servant of Krishna, but the whole system, what we see now, is to be becoming master. We are trying to, you know, we are not happy with what is available, but we want to try to change the form of the system and try to enjoy our senses. And the tongue, as we were talking, is the most voracious sense. So if we control the tongue, the rest of the senses are controlled. The first sloka of Srimad Upadeshamrit mentions this, right? So the competition started from the desire to satisfy this tongue, shifting from produce to product. We can say it like that. So all the species, if we see, they are surviving on the nature's produce. Only the humans want some innovation, convert the produce in some different varieties of products, and then try to enjoy it. Like, we are not happy with sugar cane, we want sugar. So we have factories of sugar, and then it is refined, then it is double refined, and now people are understanding that it is damaging our health. So the message is very clear from this sloka, that if we want to have a good life, we have to try to relish what Krishna was relishing from this forest lifestyle. Otherwise it is very, very difficult to understand the message. So enjoying the Purna is not sense gratification. So we have to develop a faith in this system, try to bring Krishna in the center of all our activities. So every decision we take, we have to be very cautious, carefully thinking that is this decision taking me nearer to Krishna or away from Krishna? If that decision is taking us away from Krishna, that means the purpose is challenged. The whole purpose of what we are trying to achieve, Krishna Prema, is going in the wrong direction. Every single decision we take, every single decision, it is not that it is a 5-year planning program. every single step we are moving should take us nearer to Krishna. We have to be that careful in our decision making. Because real problem is not what we are seeing. Real problem are the decisions that we are taking. We can't blame external for the problem. It is all internal. We have to internalize what wrong decisions we have taken, which are keeping us away from Krishna. That Krishna is welcoming. Prabhupada said it takes 1 second to become Krishna conscious. Because it is our decision whether we want to become or not. Arjuna didn't wanted to fight. Krishna educated him by giving Bhagavad Gita. And in the end he decided to fight. So it was just a change of decision from not fighting to fighting. It was just a change of decision from not accepting Krishna's instruction to accepting Krishna's instruction. And then that became devotional service. So just a decision we have to take to make our life perfect. We don't have to innovate anything. Everything is available. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, all the instructions are crystal clear. We don't have to do much. Everything is available. And we will take one last example of cows. So the abundance is felt, as again Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was ruling the planet, it is written that the earth was producing sufficient food grains for the all species. The clouds were giving enough rain, and the cows were happy with the fatty milk bags. So this was signifying abundance. But now we see none of this. So what is the reason of this? Why this situation has degraded to what it is now? So the main point is the fatty milk bag of the cows. We need abundance of milk. And abundance of milk is available in 5 situations. First is when the grass is so nutritious and the cows are grazing on it and they are producing profuse milk that the calf cannot drink it all, and what is left for the humans, that is the nectar Prabhupada talks about. Second situation is that the cows are grazing and the quality of the milk, because the grass is very nutritious, the quality is so nutritious that the calf cannot drink more because of the high quality of nutrition in the milk, satisfied with the less milk, so we get excess milk for us. Third situation is that because the grass is so nutritious, the quantity of milk produced has increased, so the calf can't drink it all. The fourth situation is when the calf is sick, it can't drink whole milk, so we get excess milk. And last, fifth situation is that when the calf is separated from the cow, and we get excess milk. So these are the 5 situations in which we can get excess milk. And the last situation which I mentioned, where the calf is separated from the cow and we get excess milk, is what is happening today on this planet. So wherever you go, you will see that the calf is separated, and then the milk we take and we drink that. So because it is a reductionist theory again, because as per the nature, the milk comes out of love for the calf. Prabhupada writes in again first canto, chapter 17, text 3, that it is out of love for the calf that the milk comes. And only after the calf is delivered, the milk comes in the udder. Before, there is no milk. So the first right is of the calf. After the calf is satisfied, what is left is called excess milk. But today, out of the greed, we have tried to procure milk, keep starving the calf, and that has resulted into the degradation of this planet. So the 2 main challenges we are facing is from the same shloka, that the cow is separated from the calf, and the cow is separated, mother cow is separated from mother earth. Unless and until we solve this problem, Vrindavan will not manifest again. This Vrindavan forest won't manifest. So if this is solved, this is from first canto, chapter 17, text 3. Prabhupada, there are 3 problems. So the 2 I spoke is this, and third is we need herders. We need a vaishya who can take care of the cows. Right now, Shudras are taking care of cows. So if we can solve this problem, we can enjoy this Purna, and we can live our lifestyle the way really we are hankering for, wherein we get good quality air, good quality water, and good quality food. And this way we can satisfy Krishna, because we are not trying to challenge His creation. We are not trying to envy His management system. Because when we envy Krishna's system, we are envying all species actually. That is the cause of envy in the society. So we have to be submissive to this system and trying to follow the message of these verses, that how Krishna was enjoying with these bees, peacocks, cuckoo. We don't know. We want video games for enjoying. I was listening a class by His Holiness Devamrita Swami, wherein he says that now video game is the fastest growing industry in the world, because they have understood that we want to enjoy mentally, because enjoyment is all coming from the mind. So they have designed these mobiles with all the games, and we are busy doing that 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. So, but we are not satisfied. That is the reality. So if you want real satisfaction and real satisfaction of the senses, then we have to try to satisfy senses of Krishna the way the Brajabasis were doing. These all species are Brajabasis. They were trying to please Krishna with everything they were doing. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any comments, questions? You came on the time for the question.
No, I can't ask a question. I came too late.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Yes, Prabhupada says that 50% of my mission is not complete because I have not stopped listening to Varnashram Dharma. So my question is, we're trying to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction, and we have not heard many farms that are being very successful. What do you think are the problems why we are able to follow this? And another question, or maybe this question first.
Okay. So I speak?
Yes.
Okay. So the problem is only one, that we are not taking a decision to do it. If we take a decision to start a farm, we can do it. So that is the simplistic way to understand it, because when Srila Prabhupada was personally present with us, he was emphasizing this point very much, and he started lot many farms, and they were quite successful. Gita Nagari, New Talwan, then New Vrindavan, they were quite successful. But gradually it failed for whatever reason. But for now, we being Vrindavan, the headquarter, Krishna Balaram right here, the acharya for the farm and the acharya for the cows, if we decide as a community, we can certainly manifest a wonderful farm for the community. And we have the whole understanding with the Bhagavatam instructions and the instructions in the letters given by Prabhupada, which are compiled very nicely in many books. And if we follow it sincerely, the only problem we are facing is the paradigms we have. We are unable to undo our old paradigms of managing the farm. Because even in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, Prabhupada writes that all these species like insects, reptiles, birds, monkeys, asses, snakes, and one more, he writes 6-7 in that, they should be treated as innocent children. It's too much for us to understand this. We can't understand what it means even. It's a translation from, and Prabhupada writes in the purport that in the agricultural field, we don't need to kill them just to save our food, because Mother Nature is giving food for all. The same purport, Prabhupada. But we don't understand this. Even now, all our farms, or all the farms we see, are into killing different species. We think that the insects which are coming, they are named as pests now. Actually, they are insects. They are not pests. They are not unwanted. The weeds, they are not unwanted. They are a species created by Krishna with a purpose. But because we have not understood the function of each and every species, and we try to superimpose our understanding on the situation, not understanding the Bhagavatam principles, we try to dominate the situation. That is why the farms are failing. And then we see the poor farmers around us. They are also struggling in their lifestyle. So we feel, oh my God, another problem. So we mentally are resigned with the farm lifestyle. But if we as a community take a decision to do it, on the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very easy to do, as the Purna principle says that everything is available on the site. In other words, if you are putting any money to develop a farm, it's a wrong decision. As simple as that. If we are putting any resources to develop a farm, it's a wrong decision. It's a wrong decision. And there are farms, now 5% of the world farms are developed on this principle, though they don't know Bhagavatam, but there are documents and researches which supports these principles, where they don't like to kill any species manifesting on the land. And the production has increased abundantly. It is multiplying every year. Every year the production is multiplying. This is how the abundance principle works, the Purna. So Krishna Prabhupada says 1 plus 1 is 1, 1 minus 1 is 1. This is what Krishna's principle is. So it does not diminishes. But we are inscribed with this principle that if we will use, it will diminish. But that is our poor management and lack of understanding of these principles in completeness.
It made for us to make a decision.
Yes.
What is it that will make us to make the decision that we should actually do this, because we have a ministry of partners around? Because if you don't set a good example, then
yes,
the whole world will not follow.
Correct.
No, nothing will be accomplished.
Maharaj want to answer. Yes. Thank you, Maharaj.
Several years, many years ago, I was pretty much well traveled. And I was quite concerned about, you know, even your deep concerns in the project. So I visited practically most farms in the wooden Islam, because that's more accessible to us. And I was quite fond of it. So probably a person in the farm had given out any in Pennsylvania. And I was sort of like trying to be managed by the devotees as best as they know. It's no fault of anyone. Yeah. So the two devotees, not only because I'm from South Africa, they also come there, but they are based in the names are
Dhruva Maharaj
and the Parijata. And they are highly educated. I mean, Dhruva Maharaj is a scientist, he's like an energetic, atomic scientist. And Parijata is highly qualified also in terms of banking system and organization. So when I visited the choice, it's probably one of the most progressive right now in the Western world. So I just observed what's going on. We don't enter the prison, so they invited me to come over. So I just saw one thing that really struck me clearly. I'm sure the Bhagavad says in the Krishna book and other places also that the main quality of Nanda Maharaj, who is the king of the cowherds, is that Nanda Maharaj is simple.
Yes, simple. Nanda Maharaj is simple.
Nanda Maharaj is simple. And every decision that Nanda Maharaj makes is based on his nature of being simple.
Correct.
That's the key.
That's the key. Yes, Maharaj.
And I saw that quality in this devotees. They had up the community name. Like, he's the president, she was the same. Simple. But if we sort of do not have the project's interest in our heart, according to which the problem was, then it's simply a fight for how to maintain our position, power, and politics. And when that comes in, it's very difficult to be simple. Very difficult to be simple. So Prabhupada has given the solution in the category of the king of the cowards, Krishna's heart. Nanda Maharaj. You just have to live your life in a simple way and just be simple, and naturally those decisions will come. But I personally experienced that.
Right. Can you give an example of what simply
there are two words, and he's changing my words, Nanda Maharaj. I'm saying that Nanda Maharaj is simple, but he's using the word simplicity. It's different.
What does simple mean in the modern day?
Simple means simplicity in a simple way. The first thing is that when you come to the temple or the Chanjin Japa, you leave your cell phone in the room. That's simple. Everyone should leave their cell phones at home and come and chant Japa. The second thing is because Hare Krishna is the root cause of our change of consciousness to become simple. Because if you bring these electronic gadgets into the temple, it has an energy, and then somebody may say, but you know, I am watching my Guru Maharaj 10,000 miles away chanting japa, so I need inspiration. But that's not our problem to us. Because it's such a personal, intimate relationship with Krishna. So if you simply chant Hare Krishna, then other things can become simple as you come to us. That's one thing, that's the word. And then we can get into only Varnashram, not daily Varnashram. That's the point also. But the main point I'm trying to make is that Nanda Maharaj's nature is one of being simple. Simplicity can also mean naive, that's a little different. Nanda Maharaj is not super intelligent. Nanda Maharaj is simple because he simply loves Krishna and everything is done for the pleasure of Krishna. There's a difference between simplicity and that.
Simple and practical.
Yes. Now you've learned that Nanda Maharaj made it very clear. Simple means you become practical. Thank you. I mean, this is my two cents.
Thank you, Maharaj.
I'm giving some visions, just my realization. Sannyas is a clip, we don't stay in one place, so when we see things, we realize things in that sense. What the realization is.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes.
Maharaj Sadi Guru, the
president has to recite.
It's okay, Vishalam can wait. Don't mind me chiming in as well, Prabhu, on this topic. So, personally, I was born and raised, you know, studying in a farm community, New Bogota, in Australia. And that is an example of a farm community. And I spent 6 years in Bhuneshwar, going out there. And then when we went back to Australia, we traveled around and my parents had their own farm. And that was their solution. That was their solution. Is that it's pretty simple. If you want to get some land and get some cows and grow some vegetables and worship Krishna in your home and have a small home mandir, there's absolutely nothing, nobody stopping you from doing it. So that's also being simple in a way, is that if you want it, then just go ahead and do it and don't wait for somebody to do it for you. If you don't want to start something on your own, then go and join one of the thousands of farming communities that already exist. My point though is the thing that I personally observed in the movement growing up and hearing this kind of topic and conversation for a long time, many times over and over again, from many people, and hearing so many different angles of vision on this thing, the thing that I've distilled personally is that there's a fundamental blockage in our consciousness with the concept of that this world is ultimately a place of suffering and death, and that this is not our home. And that the goal of our Krishna consciousness movement is not actually to try to create a spiritual world here, because that will never happen. Because this place is a jail, and this is not our home. And so that is the blockage right there. That's the fundamental problem right there, is that we don't feel motivated to do something unless we see an immediate reward that, okay, if I invest, you know, 16 rounds a day for the next 5 years, then maybe I'll get some kind of prema or whatever as a reward for that. And that exchange, business dealing with the holy name, is the fundamental stumbling block. That we approach Krishna consciousness as a business exchange fundamentally from the beginning, and that's natural for Prakriti Bhaktas, you know, Kanishka Adhikaris, who see it from that angle of vision. It's natural in that way. And so the same way, you know, and so then we end up with hierarchies in the temples, and then the farm communities, we end up with hierarchies where you have to pay people to sweep the floors and wash the dishes and clean the toilets. And then there's a hierarchy, you know, like if I'm wearing saffron and, you know, if I got, you know, diksha 10 years ago, then there's no way in hell that I'm going to go and clean the toilets, because that's somebody else's job. You know, because I'm senior, and you know, you've got to get some menial servant to do that and pay them to do that. And there's no way in hell I'm going to go down to Goshala and look after, you know, 500 cows and clean up their stool and do all that other stuff, because, you know, because I'm senior, and you've got to pay somebody else to do that. You've got to pay people to do all that stuff. And so it's like, how are you going to start a farm, you know, when you've got to pay people just to do your menial chores for you? You know, you know what I'm saying? So what's the point of having a hierarchy in society? In the materialistic, from the Prakriti perspective, the purpose of a hierarchy in society is to facilitate our sense enjoyment. And from a spiritual perspective, the purpose of a hierarchy, like we have hierarchies in a spiritual society, but the purpose of a hierarchy in a spiritual society is completely different. And it's to elevate the evolution of the consciousness of the soul. You know, so sorry for ranting on about this. I gotta wind up. So my point is, like, if I can distill it down to a question, please, you know, feel free to comment on this or answer this. But, you know, this is my question, this is my doubt. This has been my doubt for a long time on this particular topic. Is how are you going to actually address Bhanushram Dharma without first understanding the correct principle of hierarchy in society, and what are the roles and functions of the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and the sutras, not just, you know, on 10 acres of land or 100 acres of land, but in society, really look at it like, you know, India or America, not the world, society, from a fundamental point of view. We gotta, you know, so that's my doubt. You know, how does this actually work as a model of society, as a political model of society? If we can answer that question on a societal scale, then you've got your Bhanushram Dharma solution. That's the question. That is the question.
Okay. So, thank you for your understanding and explanation. I strongly feel that without training and education, we can't change anything. So we need to have more courses and seminars in different temples, creating an awareness, like we started with devotee care course, something like that, you know, where on a grassroots level, devotees are educated about the importance of this Varnashram Dharma or the farm life, because today practically we don't see much talks on such subject. So if we increase the presentation and communication on this aspect, gradually it will happen, because changing an institutional hierarchy or structure, whatever we call it, takes at least 100 years. It's not a small thing to do. There are researches on this, where anything you need to change in an institution, it takes 100 years. Say 100 years is nothing. This is for 10,000 years, this movement. So 100 years is nothing. We should not think that everything will happen in our lifestyle, life movement only. No, I will do it, I will make it happen. That's not the idea. we all have to contribute whatever little we can and try to push forward it in the hand of other devotees who are going to carry it forward. But training and education can bring a substantial change in the mindset, because this is how it has been damaged. The education system, from a Vedic education system to a materialistic education system, change our mindset totally to what we are now. So if we want to go back there, then again training and education has to come in, where the principles are re-established and given to us. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. There are more questions, can we take? Or after? Maybe after we can discuss, after the class, we would like to finish it now. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.